Hello, Internet!
How's it going? Are you having a good day? It's hot as fuck.
They can't respond to us. Yeah, it's hot as fuck. It's a balmy 30 degrees Celsius here in Coquitlam, beautiful Coquitlam, BC.
Yeah, yes, it is.
For our American listeners, I don't know what that is.
It's like a bunch in Fahrenheit.
It's not as bad as it is 90? In...
No, I know 80 is like 26.
I think we're above 100 for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we shouldn't complain. They had to literally ground flights in Arizona this week because of the heat.
Yeah, and in the UK, when it gets this fucking hot, their air turns toxic.
What? From what?
I don't know. Shit in the air?
Makes sense. welcome to this week of Outrage Factory. I am Derek Bolin.
I'm Dale DeRuiter.
And
I'm the handsome one.
We're both very angry and low energy today.
Yeah, it's too hot to be this angry.
Living in Vancouver has made me so squishy. It's like my comfort zone is between 20 and 25 degrees, and anything on either side of those, I'm just complaining.
Yeah, and it's like everybody's like, oh, I hope it gets hot. And it's like, I weld, so I'm hot all day at work. I'm like, fuck, whatever.
Oh, I weld. Oh, I'm a laborer. I know the value of a hard day's work.
No, I'm just saying I'm hot all the time.
Oh, I'm hot all the time because I work so hard.
So I don't appreciate when it's hot. Like, people are like, oh, it's going to be nice this weekend. I'm like, shit.
Yeah. I sit on my ass in front of a desk in an air-conditioned office, which
is
pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I do not
air conditioning, pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Fuck.
Hilarious.
Totally.
All right.
So, since we stepped on my segue, let's go back to the UK heat wave thing.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay. Do it up. So, it was... Give me a drum roll so I can look this up.
I'm not going to do that. I have no idea how awful that would sound on the mic.
Put this. Anyways, it was a heat record in the UK. It was 34.5 yesterday.
Is that a record in the UK?
Yeah, no, the actual record is 35.6.
Like the hottest it's ever been in the UK.
Well, that was 1976.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so...
That place has shittier weather than us.
Yeah, I know. It gets hotter than that in Vancouver, and Vancouver's not very hot.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's like their whole society's melting, and their fucking air turns toxic from, I don't know, burning coal for 6,000 years or whatever when there's chimney sweeps.
Yes, that probably would impact it.
And then eating shitty food like kidney pie.
Yeah, having awful teeth.
Yeah.
Talking in a dumb accent. I hope we don't have any English listeners.
I doubt we've made it across the pond. So yeah, there's nothing really that much to talk about the UK heat wave unless we want to just make fun of them for not being able to handle 34.5 degrees.
I mean, if we were going to do that, we should not have opened up complaining about 30 degrees.
Yeah, we did, but we're still doing our podcast. We
really kneecapped ourselves there.
Our society is still on and popping.
Yeah, we can spin this out into...
Oh, sorry, that's just the highest June temperatures.
How is that the hottest it's ever been?
In June.
In June is a fairly hot month globally.
Yeah, pretty much in the northern hemisphere at least.
It was like,
because the southern hemisphere is reversed.
When I was in China, it was pushing 35 degrees there. Also, because of coal, they have that nice layer of smog that just traps the heat.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, do you want to hear some more records? The Scottish record is 32.9, which makes them even bigger pussies. Okay, the hottest it's ever been in the UK was 38 in August 2003, which is, I don't know, not that hot. It gets hotter than that. It doesn't get hotter than that here, does it?
What?
38?
Vancouver specifically?
Yeah.
Or Canada?
Well, Canada gets way fucking hotter.
Yeah.
Like Kamloops and Okanagan.
Oh, Kamloops is a godforsaken desert, though.
Yeah. Semi-arid desert.
Are we out of time? We're like literally talking about the weather. It's too hot on our podcast.
Oh my god, it's so like, funny. Make it it's small like, talk. Because it's like, I hate when people talk about the weather.
And it's then... just the most, and it's the thing that most people default to. It's yeah. like, I fucking hate, I know I'm literally experiencing the same weather as everyone in this city right now. But if yeah. you run into someone, invariably their first comment will be something about the weather.
I like to think of it as you go, boy, it's hot, and the underlying tones of that is I'm sweaty and fucking disgusting, but it's not my fault. And it's always fun to just say hot enough for you to annoy the piss out of some people.
Yeah.
So
speaking of hot being cool or hot, yeah, also hot could have gone either way on that one.
You know, we really, with our slang terms, we really confuse ourselves because hot and cool means the same thing.
Shut up.
Boy.
Ken dolls.
It's hard being an old man.
New Ken dolls.
Yeah, new Barbies, but the Barbies have been rolled out for a while over the last couple of years. I remember buying one for my niece because it looked like her.
Oh, that's cute.
Like, actual proportion wise, because
not
they're called
plasticky and weird.
Well, she doesn't move much. No, it's called the Fashionistas line, and it's not, they still have their regular Barbies, but this Fashionista line is basically Mattel being like, okay, shut up, we get it, Barbie's skinny, we'll make some fat ones with blue hair. Sorry, not fat, curvy.
Jesus, Dale.
I made air quotes. Curvy.
For our listeners who don't know Dale personally, which might be one or two of you, Dale's
I'm obese.
He's a, no, I
no,
wouldn't
I'm
say
legally,
obese.
No, I took the body fat test. And I'm like 29%. And for a guy, if you're over 20% body fat, you're clinically obese. Well, not, I don't know. That makes it sound worse. But you're like,
yeah, by throw the clinical in front of anything.
By the definition of the term, you're obese.
Yeah,
and
but
girls, it's over 25.
You're a solid guy. Like,
yeah.
You're not.
Well, it's solid. There's like two different fats. There's the like squishy fat that's like on the top layer of the skin. Then there's this other thing called subdermis fat. And that's the harder fat, and that's underneath. So that's what I have. So I look more solid, but I'm obese, so I'm allowed to make fun of fat people.
I can tell you're a fat guy because you've researched the different kinds of fat. How they apply.
That's usually a good indicator.
It's like, oh, you understand this. Yeah. You're a fat person.
Oh, there's different kinds of fat? You must be fat for knowing that.
So they rolled out this more diverse line of Barbies that are more in line with women's body types and not like pushing this unrealistic view of the female anatomy. And then they turn
which
around,
which we know nothing
and,
about.
No, I've never even seen a naked woman before.
We're like those Hutterites. We do it through a hole in the sheet.
Those Hutterites.
Wait, is it the Hutterites that do that? I don't know. I'm probably going to get us in trouble again. I should probably stop talking about people who have sex with through holes in sheets.
Yeah, or just in general.
Yeah, I should stop talking about people who have sex.
Yes, or
which
people.
Is everybody.
Well, no.
I guess there's some people who don't have sex.
But yeah, and then they also revised the Ken line.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They put him out.
Yeah, I don't care about the Barbies because I'm not a girl and I don't get annoyed at girl trends. But they did do, I think, 15 new Kens. And, well, some of them are just terrible. Like, for instance, well, they added black Kens, which is nice.
That's good. A little
I wasn't aware that they didn't have black Kens in history because I don't collect Ken dolls, but...
Oh, for like the past 60 years, it's been white blonde Barbie and white blonde Ken, and that was it.
Yeah.
You could dress them up in different outfits, but in terms of diversity in the actual dolls themselves,
yeah.
Not really
so,
a thing.
Some of the new ones they have are like, looks like Beach Ken. He's wearing a tank top and some aviators and has some bushy brown hair. Then there's Hipster I'm in a Band Black Ken, who has a plaid shirt. And
is that
his...
Black Ken? Because that's pretty
well,
white
there's
for
more
a black
than
guy.
There's more than one all Black right. Ken. So he's hip, or he's I'm in a Band Black Ken, where he has jeans tucked into boots and a short sleeve plaid shirt. Then there's I Have a Job Even Though I Have Cornrows Black Ken, which might have been racist for me to say. But anyways,
we'll
he has
it out.
He has cornrows and a short sleeve t-shirt and a tie and silver boots. Then there's My Dad Owns a Boat Ken, which is my favorite because those are my style goals. He's wearing deck shoes, a little gingham shirt. He's got a nice coif going. And yeah, those are the okay Kens. Then there's fucking Man Bun Ken.
Which
is egregious.
Well, yeah, like, come on. The man bun thing is going to last for, like, another... Are we already getting backlash on this?
I think people are starting to realize. It's like the mullet. Year. Like, people were like, dude, I got a fucking mullet. Chicks know how I know how to party. And then it just kind of turned into a practical joke. The problem with the man bun was women liked it for a while. So dudes knew it was shitty, and they're like, I don't give a fuck. Girls like it. Because there's a secret about men. We know how lame we look all the time, but if girls like it, we don't care, because we just want to impress girls.
I would blame every awful fashion trend for men in the past century on women.
Can we just blame everything on? Nah, okay. Okay. Jorts, I think we'll own that, because that's just a lazy man trend, which also is what Ken is wearing, which might be more egregious than the... I don't know. Jorts are all right.
The man bun? Yeah.
Yeah, like cutoffs. Like, dudes invented jorts because they're like, oh, I got holes in my jeans. I'll just cut what these off.
I want to get a little more mileage out of these.
Yeah, I'm like fucking MacGyver.
And then after, you know, they can't be jorts anymore, you turn them into, like, little Daisy Dukes. And then
denim
after that,
underwear.
Yeah.
Perfect. A denim thong, which is basically the seam and the fly.
So here's my thing. They've been pushing for, like, diversity in Barbies, and there's been a lot of outcry over female Barbies and their unrealistic body types.
Yeah.
I've never seen paunchy middle-aged dad Ken doll or balding dude Ken doll.
Or plays too many video games and still rocks cargo
shorts.
Yeah,
or can tell you two different kinds of fat Ken doll.
Yeah.
But, so they roll out these more diverse Kens, and they're still like these jacked up, I don't know if I'd even describe them as,
well, they're just like
se, but they're
the idealized hot looking 20-year-old who has 15 different styles.
Yeah. Kens. Are we giving women at a young age giving them the wrong impression and giving
them
Yeah,
they're like, if you
unrealistic expectations of
yeah,
the men,
you can get a man who's hot. It's like, no, you're gonna end up putting up with the guy who's nice to you
yeah.
after you're done dealing with
you're
hot
gonna end
dudes
up with someone
dickheads.
Like me or Dale
yeah.
who has to take time away from you every Sunday to record some dumb podcast
where we talk about how little we know about women. Which is, I don't know, that's at least we're doing something with our time. It's productive. Something gets made.
Just
produced.
Just making a thing on the merits of that alone, I don't know if that qualifies as productive.
Yeah, it does, because you produce something.
Cool.
So it's productive.
Right. In your face, Mom and Dad,
yeah.
I'm doing something with my life.
We did it.
But, so, yeah, I wonder how long it is until we see, you know, some fat Ken dolls. Or
that would
some,
be hilarious.
Some more, like... Okay, so I'm not going to say that the Barbies are fat. I think they are more realistic, but it's just as bad that the Ken doll has, like, a totally unrealistic body type for a lot of
yeah.
them. Or selves included. So, where's the outcry over that, guys?
Yeah, if only these little girls would cry about how their
get
Ken
really
doll was looking.
It
yeah.
wasn't even, no little
girls. Oh, I guess
gave
it was the moms
yeah.
of little girls. They're like, every problem in my life was because I had a Barbie doll that was too skinny for me to achieve when I was a little girl, and now I don't want my little girl to have the same problems I have.
Well, yeah, we see that in, like, fashion magazines
yeah.
or Hollywood, where everyone's like, oh, the women are totally unrealistic. Well, what the fuck about the dudes, man?
Do you
I've never looked
hear
like Jude
some
Law.
Some insight about...
Is Jude Law still relevant?
You look like Jude Law, though.
Is Jude Law still relevant?
I think he's coming up in better? Something. Oh, great. Now it's the fucking, oh, what's Jude Law in? We didn't do a research thing because you brought it up out of nowhere. Anyways, I heard about the fashion industry that the reason they get those women that are so skinny is so that when the clothes are on them, they look like they're on a clothes hanger, which is either...
Why would anyone want to look like a clothes hanger?
I don't know. So you could see what the clothes look like when they're hanging in your closet. I think it's just someone being really mean.
Also, if anyone ever came to me and was like, you know, for this job, we need you to look like a wireframe. I would be like, I don't know if that's the right job for me. That's a little insulting.
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't think we could be models anyway.
Well, speak
maybe
for yourself,
plus size
buddy.
Models.
I would be an undersized model.
I'd be plus size.
I am 160 pounds soaking wet, so
yeah.
That's
I'm 260 pounds soaking wet.
Speaking of fashion.
Yeah. Oh, the Ivanka Trump thing?
Oh, Ivanka Trump thing!
It's too hot for segues. I'm just gonna call it.
Yeah, it is. I'm sweating.
It's hard to, like, merge one subject into the other one when you're covered in sweat.
I'm going to break that off at the knee and interject here to say that if you guys want to fund us so that we can open an air-conditioned podcast studio and keep bringing you internet outrage throughout the summer in comfort, please donate to our Patreon. It's available. I think we have a link on our SoundCloud account. We'll name drop.
We'll
it
verify
again at the end
and
of
make
the,
sure that there is a link.
End of the podcast. I would like to make some money for this thankless, shitty job.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So I can buy some new jorts. Anyways, so that segue that I just actually screwed up was Ivanka Trump is in trouble right now because her shoe company, I had no idea she had, is getting sued by an Italian shoemaker saying that her shoes are a cheap knockoff of his shoes. Ivanka Trump fired back saying that I had nothing to do with those shoes. They were designed, created, and approved without my knowing.
I think that's a bullshit excuse. I mean,
definitely. She's trying to distance herself.
If you're the CEO, you, and we saw this with Travis Kalanick from Uber, yeah, who just stepped down there. Even though Travis didn't do a lot to kind of distance himself from the toxic culture shit show that was Uber,
yeah,
he could have said at any time, you know, these are my underlings making these decisions. It's not my fault. I'm not directly related to it. If you're the CEO, you are responsible ultimately for any decision that your company makes.
Yeah, that's why you're the CEO. You're the figurehead.
Yeah.
It might just be the figurehead, but you're still the head.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we see this lots. There was, I think it was a couple of years ago. I haven't seen one lately, but there were lots of instances of like Urban Outfitters and what was the other one?
American Apparel.
Yeah. Ripping off really popular designs from like Etsy shops, which are like,
oh yeah,
the bread and butter for a lot of these people, come up with their own designs and get really popular. And then a brand like, yeah, like American, what did I say?
American Apparel.
Thank you.
Was it American, like,
American
Apparel?
American Outfitters?
I thought you were going to talk about the CEO, because the American Apparel CEO was like a sexual assault.
Oh, yeah. That guy got shit-canned on the reels.
He was gross.
Yeah. It was pretty disgusting.
But it, at the same time, it kind of made American Apparel really popular because of all his super sexy ads.
Yeah.
I don't know, because it's hard to say, because it's like you have these ads that are like super sexualized, and then you find out the CEO of the super sexualized company is
a sex sexually, pervert.
Yeah, a sex pervert. I like that term. And you're like, and then you're just like,
oh,
well, yeah.
I'm taken aback.
Yeah. This is, wow, I'm so surprised. That just blew up my whole world.
It was cool when I was, you know, jerking off to the ads, but now that I know that this is a real life thing.
Yeah, now that it has actual damage in the real world, I don't want to talk about this.
That was not acceptable.
Yeah.
There was another... Oh, no, I was just reading about... I, like, fell down a Wikipedia rabbit hole the other day, and I was reading about...
Oh, God.
That he was a founder of some, like, ad technology company.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting shit-canned from that job for domestic violence.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
His wife or girlfriend at the time. And I was like, oh, I wonder where this guy is now. And it's like, ah, he just lost his latest job because of another domestic violence charge. So I'm like, that's probably unemployable now.
I like how your Wikipedia rabbit holes are, you're like, I was reading about the CEO of this investment technology thing. And then my Wikipedia rabbit holes are like fucking conspiracy theories and aliens and shit like that.
There's some good shit there too.
Yeah.
Occasionally I'll be like, oh, reading about the like lore of this video game series for like 8 hours. I'm like, I had no idea,
dude,
about any of this.
Once you breach the tip on like canon of a video game, there's just so fucking much. That's ridiculous.
Ivanka, you are responsible for anything that comes out of your company. Any CEO, keep that in mind. Let's talk about the Uber thing, actually, because...
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, he just stepped down this week, didn't he?
Yeah, that just happened.
Okay, wait, let me do the research.
I did.
Boop, boop, beep, boop, beep. I'm computering so hard right now.
We did not get any applicants for our,
I'm getting
our
really
research
smart
assistant, which I'm actually really fucking bummed about. Like,
yeah,
who wouldn't want to be sitting in this sweltering living room with us right now?
Yeah,
looking
you
up
could
the
be
shit we tell them to.
Dealing with us sweaty assholes and not being able to talk when we're wrong. What's not appealing about that?
God.
Uber, was it the CEO?
Yeah, stepped down. And I honestly do feel bad. Like, I know he's a shitty asshole who, like...
Oh, he's even the co-founder, not just the CEO.
The other co-founder, actually Canadian. I think he's either from Vancouver or Toronto. He had founded...
Yeah.
Fuck, I have no idea.
Oh, wait.
It's too hot for this.
The...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He resigned.
After, look at this look on his face.
He's like months and months. And this is something the guy, like, spent his entire life building up and poured his lifeblood into and made it, like, this incredible success.
Yeah.
Sort of. Let's debate the meaning of success, because this is a company that's still hemorrhaging money, but they have a valuation of, like, a zillion dollars.
Yeah, like, he's rich, so I don't feel bad for him.
No. He did something I didn't realize. He just lost his mom died in a boating accident over Memorial Day weekend, so like 2 weeks ago. So like on top of that, like he loses his mom and then he loses his company. It's a pretty fucking awful time. And people are just like piling on this guy. And Uber was, I think they'd be under nowhere near this level of scrutiny and have people attacking them if they didn't have the success they had had.
Yeah.
If they were some middling startup that nobody really gave a shit about, he wouldn't have had to step down. We see toxic culture in, like, these mid-level startups all the time. But there was just blow after blow to Uber in terms of the way they treated competitors. Like, they did a lot of really shady... anti-competitive shit. They made threats against journalists who were unfavorable to them, and then they had a really awful internal culture that was pretty horrific to women, it sounds like, in particular.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, not a unique thing in the tech industry. You have all these, like, I'm gonna stereotype here, but you have these tech nerds who, you know, go through high school and university, like, not knowing anything about women and being socially awkward.
I'll just put it this plain, because I'm the offensive guy. I'll say nobody fucked them and they're still bitter about it.
Yeah. Well, that's about like, as succinct
like the,
as it gets.
When they were burgeoning in their sexuality in their early teens, no women paid attention to them, and they still hate all women for it.
Yeah.
Which isn't every single tech nerd. I mean, I'm sure there's some tech nerds who learned how to romance women.
There's a lot that are great, and there's a lot that have kind of grown out of that, like, hating women phase in their life, or blaming women for their general repulsiveness. But there are a ton of dudes in tech who still have these, like, really shitty... misogynistic views, and they're fucking everywhere, man. Like, it's not just like one CEO at one company, and it's not like this is localized to Uber. They are all across the tech industry, and any tech event you go to, there's going to be these shitty bros who suddenly
And one thing I've noticed too is that, like, you see a lot of rip nerds lately, and it's more like it's almost like they're trying to be the alpha dog of the beta dogs. Like, in high school, they couldn't contend with the jocks or the rich kids like that. So now that they're nerds surrounded by other nerds, they're trying to get more ripped than them so they could be, like, I don't know, consolation prize alpha dog.
Consolation nerds.
Yeah, so it's like they're more manly than the other nerds, so they still consider it really manly and good.
Yeah, plus I think it's a lot of them realizing that, you know, all through high school and university or whatever, you're probably fucking dirt poor. And you're like, okay, once I get money, women are going to like me.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you get money.
And they don't.
And they still don't. And then you're like, okay, well, I guess I better work on improving myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Money was not the solution.
Yeah.
All
right, let's move on to...
whiteness.
And Skittles.
Specifically Skittles. So Skittles did, I don't know, it was like some dumb, bland PR gesture, but this is Pride Week. Last week was Pride Week.
It's Pride Month.
Pride Month, sorry.
Yeah.
And Skittles being a rainbow-branded candy.
Yeah.
Released a limited edition campaign where it was like, hey... we're giving our rainbow up for Pride because the Pride rainbow is more important than ours. I think the catchphrase was like, during Pride, only one rainbow matters.
Yeah.
And they released, it's something that was sure to backfire, The whitest, these are just like pure white Skittles. They're like in a white package. All the Skittles themselves are white. Yeah. And in what is becoming a hallmark of the left these days, you can't do something nice for one marginalized group without pissing off the rest of them.
Yeah, it was nice because there's a lot of uproar now about people being like, why should gay people get the rainbow? We should be able to use it too. And it's like, well, just fucking let it go. And I think I like Skittles for doing it. I think it's a very grand gesture. They are also giving money from each package sold to LGBT rights and organizations.
That part's nice. But like, why'd you have to make them like pure? These are like the Aryan Skittles. Like, these are the whitest.
Well, what color are they supposed to make them? Because white's the absence of all color.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Would you make them black?
To people with brains. Well, no, because then white people, have the alt-right being like, well, these Skittles I'm not are promoting eating diversity.
These Skittles are trying to kill Trump.
Push white genocide. Yeah, there's no winners. Brands, just take note. Like, don't do any, make no statements on anything ever
just
again.
Just fucking, here's what you do. You do it like your job. Unless you're very, you want to be, there's only two ways to do this. You can either get promoted or fired. But if you don't want to do either of those, just keep your fucking head down, stay out of sight, and be business as usual. And if you're a brand, people, like, nobody's going to stop buying Skittles. They're obviously popular because they're delicious and they're full of sugar.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's buying them because of the social,
they're the social not like, programs they they're support. They're not like, oh, now I can buy Skittles because they support gay people.
I could give myself diabetes without feeling guilty about
it. You shouldn't eat Skittles because it's really bad for you. But other than that, just eat them anyway.
There was another thing, and I could not, honestly, it was so dumb. And it's one of those things where I couldn't tell if it was satire or not. But there was this Facebook post that this conservative freedom fighters for Canada or something group did. And it's the Canada 150 logo that they did.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Canada is celebrating its 150th birthday since Confederation in like a week. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
big,
pretty good.
Big thing. But they did this. Obviously, they hired a graphic designer and got this, like, jazzed up Canada 150 logo. And the flag, like, the actual logo itself is this very modernist take on a maple leaf. And it's multicolored. And these people, right? Yeah, that's the guy right there. Yeah. We'll share it in the, on our Twitter feed or whatever. But
I'll share it right now.
People were losing their minds on this, and if it was satire, it was super effective because all these idiot conservatives were coming out being like, well, people fought, died to defend this flag, and this is what you do to it. You turn it into some like pro-gay message, and I'm like, it's a fucking like maple leaf with a variety of colors in
it. Yeah.
Like, have we actually gotten to the point now where we're like, if I see anything remotely rainbow related, you're coming out and trying to turn me gay?
Exactly.
It's just the most ridiculous thing. So, yeah, everybody's mad about everything. I'm going to give this a shout out because I know Brittany and Matt, two of our listeners in Vernon, BC, longtime friends, have been asking me to bring it up for a long time. There's a city councilor in Vernon, BC called Scott Anderson, and this guy is without a doubt the biggest dipshit I have ever had the pleasure of encountering online. And he's, like, this full-on, like, far-right conservative idiot. And when they had this kerfuffle, because Vernon, BC is a small town, it's, like, 50,000 people, and they're probably not as progressive as a lot of larger cities, I guess.
Still yeah.
Very much, like, nestled in, like,
It's isolated enough that dickheads aren't questioned enough.
More than that, dickheads are voted into office.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're saying this guy's probably a shoo-in to make mayor at some point. But there was this incident two years ago, where a local gay advocacy group wanted to, like, just paint a rainbow crosswalk for Pride.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, becoming kind of the norm. Like, it's a very...
This isn't the first time that the rainbow crosswalks... Surprise to me, You paint a crosswalk rainbow, whatever, there's some extra color, and people lose their minds. Like, I think it was Chilliwack did it, like, 2 years ago, and people
same thing.
Flipped
like,
out.
Kind of the same belief structure there. It's a very conservative-leaning community.
Yes, I guess when you bring awareness to them, they don't appreciate it, and, like, chuckleheads were doing shit, like, doing burnouts on the crosswalks and just, like, trying to deface cement. Like, in any way they
I've
can.
Never seen people give a fuck about the color of their pavement. But yeah. The second you're like, I'm going to turn this rainbow color, they will invent 40,000 reasons why this, like, 6-foot strip of concrete cannot possibly be rainbow colored.
I think maybe we're just used to it because it's been in Vancouver in the West End for, what, like 10 years?
Yeah, Vancouver has a very
gay-friendly community. Bright pink bus stops and garbage cans.
See, that was more offensive to me. I'm like, are you just assuming all gay people like hot pink? Like, these things look ridiculous.
I love it. But I like pink as a color.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's one of those things that started out as, like, ironic liking. I was like, haha, I'm gonna do everything. I had this job, and I would have to call. It was when I worked at a video store. That's how long ago this was, because those are long gone. And I would have to call and then write with a pen. That's also how long it was. I'd have to call people about their overdue movies and then write down the number if I called them, if I left a message. And it was pretty much the worst thing to do ever because it was so annoying. And the one manager who I didn't really get along with was like, Dale, you have to do it. And I was like, but it's someone else's turn. They're like, no, you have to do it. So I started writing it down in pink, hot pink. I just randomly found a hot pink pen. So for like weeks, I was just writing it all down in hot pink and it annoyed the shit out of them. And I was like, this is hilarious. And then after doing that, I was like, you know, I could just annoy everybody with
all
pink.
All the time.
I think I'll just make everything pink and everybody will be annoyed. And it works.
Does it? Are
you were annoyed by pink garbage cans at first.
Yeah, at first I was like, okay, like the rainbow crosswalks I get. But I was just like, you know, is this stereotyping? I'm sure there's gay people out there who aren't fans of hot pink because they have taste.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they should have just made them white.
Yeah, just like pure white.
Pure white.
And then paint white is right on it.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
What?
Because it rhymes when you say it, but if you write it, it doesn't look right. Because it's like I-T-E and I-G-H-T.
Something I've noticed in the internet age, have you ever done like tomato, tomato, potato, potato? You try doing that on the internet, you're like both of these things. It's like potato, potato.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't work at all.
Or like people start what's annoying me is like there's like with everybody communicating through texts and emails and tweets and everything, people are starting to do I rhymes more, which is where it looks like it rhymes because it's spelt the same, but it doesn't actually rhyme the way you pronounce it. And it's like an annoying thing, but it just bugs me.
Is it that? Okay, so no to everyone. We have found something that irritates Dale. Do not stop until his mind breaks.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of bad because I just announced that I like it.
I love irritating
everybody.
People.
Ah, I can annoy everybody with this bright pink. But you should all stop doing this thing that irritates me.
So I want to clarify for people who might have a conservative bent who are listening that a rainbow crosswalk or rainbow anything is not pushing gay in your face any more than you having a cross on your church is pushing Jesus. Wait, do we feel that that's pushing Jesus?
No, you could just do whatever you want.
It's just a fucking symbol.
Yeah.
Man. Like, and pride has kind of expanded to be this all-inclusive thing unless you talk to, like, Black Lives Matter, the Vancouver chapter, had some kerfuffle about the Pride Parade, which I'm like...
Oh, God.
I'm not going to deny that racism in Canada doesn't exist, but, like, why the fuck do we even need a Black Lives Matter chapter in Vancouver? If any of our black listeners could explain to me whether you feel that's a necessary and relevant thing. Like, I get it showing support for people in the South, but we didn't have this really entrenched racism towards African Americans, anyway.
It was always Asians.
It's always been, like, Asians and indigenous people.
Yeah,
here.
Which people are... I just want to back this up with actual facts, is in West Vancouver, which is the west part of North Vancouver, not to be confused with West End. I'm just explaining this for people who don't actually live in Vancouver because it's annoying. And if I if we were just talking about the West End, which is the western side of downtown. But when you say West Vancouver, it's the western side of North Vancouver across the Lionsgate Bridge. Anyway,
look at the map. We have like four different neighborhoods that are named West Vancouver or Vancouver West.
So the thing is, all the West Vancouver actually had bylaws that said people of Asian descent couldn't own property there. And it was written in, I don't know, way back when they used Asian people to build the railways because they wanted to keep it white and pure. And that was completely wrong and bad. And I was just pointing that out as an example of how Chinese people used to be, what the fuck's that word? We just said it like 100 times. Anyways, moving on. What? Don't look at me.
Was that the end of the story?
That was the end of the story.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got. All
right.
That's why I don't do research. Because then I say the fact, and then it's like, well, that was anticlimactic. That's just
probably
a fact.
I'm going to probably edit this whole...
Where's the punchline?
...whole section out.
Okay, let's keep going.
That's awful.
Let's keep going.
And also, well, since we were talking about Vancouver news, this is something that one of our listeners sent in to us for our mailbag this week. It's about Vancouver... planning on banning late night entry into clubs in the clubbing district, which is the gravel strip here.
How late?
I'm pulling it up right now. So
what does this mean for Gorgamesh?
So we need to explain this place. So Vancouver liquor laws are fucking weird. I feel like they're kind of all over the place. Like on weekends on this one strip of Vancouver, there's like most bars have to stop serving at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And closing is 2 a.m. And then there's like a handful, like four or five bars that their cutoff is 2 a.m. and everyone's out by 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And then there's this awful after-hours club called Gorgamesh where you can go and chicks get in for free. Dudes have to pay $40 cover.
Yeah.
And they sell, like, Gatorade bottles.
Oi. That's... They don't sell those.
Sorry.
That's a secret.
They...
That's actually illegal.
Yeah, but they do it.
Yeah, but... Well, I guess I don't care if we out them for doing it because I'm never going to Gorgamesh.
I'm sure people know about. They exchange alcohol for money.
Yeah, but you buy
in a very roundabout way.
Yeah, what it is they put alcohol in a Gatorade, which they're allowed to sell there, but they give it to you already opened, so that it's not you buying alcohol. It's like you buying Gatorade
that with bonus alcohol
that has like the gift of alcohol in it. I don't know how it works, but I'm pretty sure it's illegal, and they're just trying.
Well, it's absolutely illegal.
Skirt things.
There's also there's a really shady Chinese restaurant on the corner of Granville and Davie Street where you can go in after 2 a.m. and you can order cold tea.
Yeah, cold tea,
and they'll bring you teapots with really shitty. I think it's PBR or something, just god awful beer. But for people who didn't get enough to drink in the previous 8 hours, it's nice to know that you can go to these places and continue drinking so that you have something to take the edge off all the cocaine you just did.
Yeah. Do you think it... Yeah.
Almost.
It's definitely been a while since I've had any cold tea.
Yeah. I did it once and I was like, this is mind-blowing. Like, it's the best shit ever.
A giant waste of money.
Yeah.
Because it's... All both of these methods, the Gatorade and the cold tea, are exceptionally overpriced.
Yeah, there's a huge markup on it.
Which I guess they have a right to do. And if you're that desperate for alcohol after 3 a.m., you kind of deserve to get fucking...
Well, yeah, that's I don't know why some enterprising young entrepreneurs don't just, like, rent an apartment or, like, buy out a hotel room and then have, like, a speakeasy there after hours where you can sell people fucking well alcohol for $20 a drink.
Yeah.
Get a couple girls in there for free and a bunch of horned up dudes will flock in after them.
Yeah.
And you're golden. You're paying for everything. We should do this next week.
Dude, horned up dudes, how much industry do you think is supported purely by horned up dudes?
All of it. The entire bar and club industry. Like, almost, you have, like... So, yeah, you have, like, two types of people at bars. You have women who are there to, like, legitimately have fun and dance. And then you have dudes who are there to pick up women.
And be horned up.
that's literally it. Yeah. Like, you might have a few people, people who are looking to socialize don't really go to clubs because the music's fucking awful.
Yeah.
And the drinks are overpriced.
And to just specify, we don't mean pubs or, like, places like the Morrissey,
no,
which aren't really clubs.
No, that's places where you can actually have conversations.
Yeah, we're talking about,
people.
Like, bumped clubs. Well, I guess they're not techno clubs anymore. I guess now they're all rap clubs.
I think they're a little. There's still that whole EDM scene. That's a thing that's happening.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
God, we're so old.
Yeah, I really don't know.
So hot.
Vancouver is amending their liquor laws to.
This is how we do research.
It literally has no time specified. They're just saying that.
In the future, we will.
Oh. In essence, the program won't allow any establishments to allow any new customers inside a full 1 hour before closing time, which, this is pretty much universal, isn't it? Last call is an hour before closing time. So now they're just saying you can't enter the premises, which...
Like, we're closing in an hour, you can't come in. So I guess that stops people from going from one club that they got like
shittered at.
They got shittered at and had to leave because they did last call and running down the street to another place where the bartender and stuff might not actually know that this person is completely wasted, and then the patron who just came in can order more drinks and then just get even like overserved, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think maybe if I had to guess at the reasoning behind this, it would be that a lot of bartenders don't necessarily give a shit about last call. So somebody could show up at 2 a.m. after. And you'll see this a lot. So people will get totally fucked up at one club, and then when that one shuts down at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., they'll just jump to the next one that's open later. And then they'll go to Gorgamesh or for cold tea afterwards. So it makes sense, I guess, to stop the entire awful city full of drunken idiots converging on, like, the Roxy at 2 in the morning, which I'm sure the policing costs for that place must be fucking enormous. any Friday or Saturday night, it's just a shit show. Particularly at 2 a.m. When all the other bars close and everyone flocks to, like, one of five clubs. But the other way they could address this would be to roll out, like, extensions on the liquor licenses to everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you don't have that problem.
Yeah, that would make sense if you just let every club stay open till 3 or 4.
Yeah.
How late they stay.
Which I don't really get. I'm going to say that a lot of the people flipping, like, fuck people. If it's 2 a.m., you've been drinking for 6 hours, coming from a sober guy, just go the fuck home. Like, there's nothing that's going to happen in that last hour that you're going to be like, this totally made my night.
Yeah, I got to say, like, I did stay out till 4 a.m. a lot, and every time I did it, it was not fun. And I was always like, why did I stay out that late? I should have gone home at 2. Because I grew up in... Well, I went to college in Kamloops, and that was all the bars closed at 2, and I got used to it. And then I moved to Vancouver, and I was like, oh, that's like 1:45, let's go home, maybe get some food. And people are like, no, it goes till 4 here. And I'm like, what? Fuck, can we just get food and go to sleep? No, we got to party more. And you're like, but I don't want to party, I want to eat food and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Which...
And that's prime time, like between 2, 2 and 3 probably.
And like Derek said, nothing good ever happens.
I can't, because, back before I quit drinking, I would be the guy who was like, fucking party's not over, let's go to the next spot. And then I just think back now, and all that, like, last hour did was, like, compound my hangover by about 10 times.
And if, back then, if we had two sweaty old dudes telling us the wrongfulness of our ways, we probably wouldn't have listened
to
them.
Oh, I wouldn't have listened at all.
We would have been like, you guys just don't know how to party hard enough. Whatever. And then
I do not know how to party hard enough.
Yeah.
I'll cop to that.
Not anymore.
But yeah, we have a couple of friends who shall remain unnamed.
Yeah.
Who the last couple weekends, these guys are part of our Dungeons & Dragons group.
I guess
there's
nobody
like
knows.
There's six guys in that group. No one has any idea.
Okay.
And these two upstanding young gentlemen have been like, they've gone to Gorgamesh, this after hours club, and like, don't get home until 8 a.m. And I'm like,
and then they're too hungover for D&D. What the fuck?
Which is awful. And I'm like, did anything notable happen? They're like, it's always, the answer has never been, yeah, it was fucking great. It's always been like, oh my God, I regret that. That was so dumb. Let's never do that again.
Let alone the $40 to get in.
Which,
is ridiculous.
I'm just waiting for some guy to throw a shit fit and claim discriminatory practices for them charging men cover and not women and get the whole fucking place shut down.
Speaking of discriminatory practices for men and not women, this fellow in the UK, sorry, I'm just going to pull it up so I can give you the name of the business and all that other...
Oh, killer segue, bro. Shit. I didn't even know where you were going with that.
So this guy, he has an office job in the UK, and with the aforementioned heat wave of almost 35 degrees, he wanted to wear shorts to work, and then he got sent home because it's against the dress code, and he was like... And then he, like, made some gross statements about how he didn't like to wear pants because it made him sweaty and uncomfortable in his Twitter page, which I guess I still repeated. But he
got
the brilliant idea that since women can wear dresses for the dress code, he was going back to work in a dress. And he thought he'd be sent home right away, but nope, they had to let him stay because he found a loophole. And then... about halfway through that day, the company actually said that it's okay for men to wear three-quarter length shorts, which is actually cool because most of these stories you hear about a guy does something like that or a girl in high school breaks the dress code, and then it turns out to this huge dramatic thing. But I guess in the UK, they're just more sensible.
Yeah, this was odd. Like, the guy wasn't like, oh, this is discriminatory bullshit and, like, throwing a cry fest on the internet. He was just like, eh, fuck you, gonna put a dress on.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna try this, and then... within a day, they realized their dress code was discriminatory, they addressed it, and they fixed it within half a day. Whereas here, we have to deal with this bullshit clickbait. Can you believe that they kicked this girl out of high school for wearing this?
They didn't wear these 12-year-old girls wear leggings on an airplane.
Oh my God. Yeah, so.
Yeah, kudos to this guy for... having the balls to throw on a dress.
Yeah.
I don't know where this guy worked because it sounds goddamn awful.
I'm looking for it.
I mean, we live in the startup world now.
His last name's Barge. I guess he barged right in.
Idiot. We live in that if you work in tech, you can wear a burlap sack to work and nobody gives a shit as long as your output is good.
Yeah, it doesn't say, in this news story on today.com, it doesn't say the company. I guess maybe they don't want to offend somebody. Yeah. And they just refer to it as the company or the office. And they even show an email from the boss saying that the only shorts they can wear are black, navy, or beige. But it doesn't say the actual name of the company.
Yeah. Well, there you go, man. If your oppressive employer is keeping you in pants and you want to cool the boys down, just throw on a skirt or a dress. I can't think of many dudes who... Is this still a thing? Like,
what? Kilts?
So, well, no. Even, like, guys just being terrified to wear dresses or skirts.
I think we're... As a society, I'd say we're pretty much over that. But then you hear some horrible news story out of the South where it didn't work out.
Well, the South, that's a whole...
Or some small town where they have problems with the crosswalks, maybe?
Yeah, that would never fly in Vernon.
Yeah.
Vernon, BC.
If you're in Vernon, don't wear a dress to your job.
No, and, you know, a lot of these places are, like, really, really nice communities, really, quaint in their own way, but...
down home.
The people who live there, in a lot of ways, are still backwards as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So, something to keep in mind if you're ever traveling.
Yeah, and, you wanna... go up to a nice story to close it out?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, this woman whose grandma was in the hospital snuck the grandma's dog in under a towel to make it look like it was a baby napping on her shoulder to visit her, and then took some pictures with the old lady and her dog. And it's just really heartwarming that this sick grandma got this dirty, dirty dog full of diseases into the hospital so she could feel better.
That's not heartwarming at all. That's awful. Like, fuck people taking dog... Okay, so we've reached a point in our society where it's just, like, dog fever and people are fucking morons about it. Like, yeah. I've seen, like, that's whatever. Like, the woman was dying?
Yeah, possibly. She's in the hospital. She's old. She's got to be dying.
I don't give a shit. Taking a dog into a hospital, not a smart thing to do. They're not particularly sanitary
animals. Also, look at this dog. He looks filthy as fuck.
Yeah.
It's just the Pomeranian. But, like, think, like, even, like, just the amount of hair that are on a Pomeranian. And if you're, like, in physical duress with an actual injury and you happen to be allergic to dogs at the same time,
yeah,
and then you get some fucking Pomeranian hair stuck on your nose and then you start sneezing and freaking out, that's not going to help you heal.
No, or you die if it's a severe enough allergy. Like, yeah, who the fuck knows? What is this, another dog in a hospital?
Yeah, it's just... okay, I'm going to stop researching because we're getting distracted. It's a fucking giant Great Dane sitting on someone's hospital bed, and it still has its giant balls attached to it.
Perfect.
Which, if the Pomeranian was a bad idea to bring into a hospital, a Great Dane is definitely even
how
worse.
Would you even, did you dress it up in human clothes and like walk it in there?
I think they just said, look, it's balls. It's obviously like a human male.
I see people sneaking dogs into restaurants all the time, yeah, and then getting offended that they can't like be like, oh, why can't I keep my dog here? Because it's a fucking animal, you
or
idiot.
Or those people, I don't know if it's as big here, but in the States, I always hear people complaining about, what is it, emotional comfort dogs?
Yeah.
Where they're, like, too scared to be alone, so they actually take their dog openly to restaurants and be like, it's my emotional comfort dog.
Which I think is one of those bullshit things, like food allergies now, where people just, like, invent it and use it to justify not tying their dog up to a, like, fucking tree or being a responsible dog owner.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone actually needs an emotional comfort dog.
And if you do need an emotional comfort dog, maybe, I don't know, stop being a shitty person who brings your dog into restaurants and people will want to be your friend and you won't be lonely.
Like, so, I know a lot of dog owners and these people are...
all
they're,
terrible.
They're,
no,
they're
just,
okay.
I'm just joking.
A lot
just
of people
joking.
Are normal about it, but a lot of people are like, so, this new craze, it's not a new craze, but it's like this perk in the tech world, is having dog-friendly offices,
yeah,
where you can like bring your dog to the office and keep it there all day, which is cool. There's a lot of really well-behaved dogs at my employer,
yeah,
and these dogs are awesome and they're kind of fun to have around. But there's dogs at my office who fucking bark constantly and they're always running around and they're really poorly trained.
Yeah,
it's like, why would you think it's okay? This isn't your home. This is a place of business. Why are you bringing your shitty, like,
yeah, exactly,
poorly trained dog in here and letting it fucking disrupt every... It's like... And here, I'm going to sound like a dickhead here.
Yeah.
They don't have bring... Like, it's not kid-friendly office. If I want to bring Noah there and let him run around fucking around, fucking up
barking
people's shit. Barking and biting people. Which he would probably do both.
Yeah.
I can't do that because... Yeah. Kids are somehow, you're just expected to have, like, daycares lined up for this shit, where...
Wait, they have these dogs there every single day?
Oh, there's probably, like, 8 or 9 dogs who are at my office every single day, yeah.
What the fuck?
And then, like, a rotating cast of, like, other ones, and I'm just like, can you not...
Can't you just leave your dog at home?
Well, I guess that's not a thing anymore, and,
Is there a size limit, at least?
No, there's...
Oh, my God.
We get full... Which, I actually prefer the big dogs.
Oh,
the
really?
The really shitty ones are, like, the little fucking toy whatever dogs.
Yeah.
They're just, like...
Loud.
Yeah, they just, like, bark at... There's a couple dogs in particular who I'm not going to name because I'd like to remain friends with my coworkers. But
why?
Fuck those dogs.
If your coworkers bring dogs to work that bark, you shouldn't be friends with them. You should be like, you're a terrible person... And I don't like you, and this is why I don't have any friends, and now I need an emotional support
dog. Yeah, now I need an emotional support dog that I'm going to force. Guess what? I'm just going to fucking get, like, an emotional support horse, and I'm going to walk that thing into
like
the middle
miniature
of a restaurant
yeah.
and be like, what up? This is an animal that I need to make myself feel better. I'm going to take it to the hospital with me. I'll take it to the old folks' home.
You know what?
Take it to
Fuck
the
it.
ICU.
Go all the way. Get an emotional support grizzly bear.
People, animals are not children. You do not need these things with you all the time.
Yeah.
And there are sometimes when they say don't bring it into restaurants or hospitals or other places, it's more for public health reasons and not because they're just trying to oppress you.
And to quote George Costanza from Seinfeld, be like, we live in a society. And that just basically means we have rules so that we can live together.
Is that George Costanza?
Yeah, he just, every once in a while, he'd like, somebody would do something shitty, and he would just scream, "We live in a society." Cool. As in, people were being oh, God. I just fucking drew a blank.
All right. It's too hot. Good time to end it. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go fucking hose my head down and get out of this awful 30-degree heat.
I'm going to go into the 30-degree heat and play baseball.
Yeah, you're a moron.
Let's see if I get sunstroke.
Thanks, as always, for joining us. If you have stuff that made you angry on the internet this week, you can email us at theoutragefactory@gmail.com or tweet us. Our whatever account is out at OutrageFactPod.
Can we put some more emphasis in this?
You know, I'm so hot. I need a cold shower.
Anyways, I'm a Super Dalebot on the Twitter machine,
and I am at Herder. That's 6 R's.
And we might set a Facebook page up if we get around to it. So look for that, and then you can give us one of those little likes, and then my ego
give us a little like.
Then my ego can get inflated a bit more.
We should we're gonna set up a Facebook page. Oh, and our Patreon. I gotta learn how to pronounce this fucking thing.
I think it's Patreon.
Yeah,
like patronizing. Patreon.
That would be Patreon.
Did I say patronize?
Whatever.
Is it patronizing or patronizing?
Potato. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You can send us money, although I've kind of given up hope that anyone's going
to
do
that. Well, usually for that, you have to give people a reason to give money.
Like, said last time, Dale would give you a hand job if you donated $50.
Oh, yeah.
So anyone who wants Dale's sweaty, callous hands. His hard laborer hands.
They are very calloused.
I weld. I'm a welder.
Whatever.
All right. Thanks, as always, for listening. Until next week.
We love you.
Stay angry. The president only makes the decision.